Good morning, everybody. It is great to be with you this morning. Can you believe we get to do this? Is this glorious or what? And it's all just, we're just warming up for heaven. Amen? I mean, can you believe we are in Christ? Can you believe we no longer have to fear the grave and what lies beyond it? Can you believe the righteousness is ours? The promises are ours to enjoy? Can you believe? Can you believe there's a new heaven and a new earth coming? This is, and we just sit in this place of great privilege. Amen?
Yeah, I know. Okay, I got to start. Bob, settle down, buddy. I just want to thank you, first of all, for all your support of A Praying Life. I just was asking Brother Jack if I could just come and give you just a quick report. Can I do that for a couple of minutes and then we'll get into the text today? First of all, we're in our 22nd year of A Praying Life. Isn't that a hoot? So at A Praying Life, we're part of See Jesus, which means we're a discipleship mission. All we do is train and equip in discipleship. And you would be surprised how few missions do that. They include discipleship, but our whole specialty is that. And so what we have found is that people really need help with prayer. I mean, don't you find prayer to be hard at times? Isn't it amazing when there's a prayer meeting how tired you feel? Isn't it amazing when you go to pray, you just get distracted or you nod off and then you feel bad? Well, it's like that all over the world. And so where we've really experienced growth is in three main areas. One is the seminar part of our work is still going very well. 33 countries out there, plus doing it online with Zoom. So yay, three cheers, hallelujah for the seminar work. But what the seminar does is it just gives you an acquaintance with the paradigms of learning how to pray like a child, a dependent child on your father. In addition to that, we have cohort work now where people join us online for cohorts of 6 to 8 highly committed people for 10 weeks of meetings where we coach each other on prayer cards, on what we're going through. We pray together. We track stories together. And that's fun. That's like going to the gym, right? Okay? And isn't it trying to lose weight or go to the gym? Isn't that more fun with a group of supportive people? Well, that's what a Praying Life prayer cohort is. And one of the things I found in my own life is that sometimes I'll go to a prayer group and I'm lagging. It's like I've got anemia or something. And I just don't feel like it. And I'm not excited and I'm barely making it. And I'll find that the prayer stories of others lift me up. They encourage me. And before you know it, hope comes back. So the cohort ministry, I hope you'll continue to pray for. It's really growing and going well. And then lastly, in the administrative area, let's just put it this way. I'm not gifted in administrative tasks. I have the gift of disorganization, but that's okay because we have a new operations director, we have two new support staff, and we now have full-time guys in the Middle East, in Europe, Central and South America, Asia, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something. So lots have come on board and are helping us move the work forward, and I just want to thank you. Thank you for helping us all these years. And then lastly, would you just keep looking ahead? Because in 2023, we're going to launch a praying church. So if a praying life is for individuals, a praying church is for churches that say, hey, can you help us get our corporate prayer going? We want this to be the core of who we are and what we do in terms of responding to the word. And so a new book will be coming out in January that Paul Miller is writing. It'll be released by Crossway. And then we're also working on the seminar for A Praying Church and cohorts for A Praying Church. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. Could I just thank God for you for a sec? Father, we thank you for the calling on our lives. We thank you. You've given this privilege to pray. And Father, we thank you. I just thank you for New Covenant in Monroeville, their friendship, their love for you, their devotion to you, and their support of us. And I pray that great will be their reward on the last day when all that is hidden shall be revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, could I just take a few minutes to bring a little bit of the Praying Church material out to you? And that's because what you see in the Gospels, basically, especially Luke, is the prayer life of Jesus lived out. And remember, Jesus was constant in prayer. Even though it was the Apostle Paul later who would make that phrase popular, constant in prayer was the life of Jesus. He was always talking to his dad. In fact, he would think nothing of interrupting you, a conversation with you, so that he could pray and just talk to his dad quickly. And he would not even apologize. He wouldn't say, excuse me, I have to talk to my father. He would just start talking to his father and you would just have to wait. So we see that in the Gospels. He's constantly praying. And then what we see in the book of Acts is that the prayer life of Jesus becomes the prayer life of the church. Folks, here's the joy in this. You and I, as a church, were never intended to live our lives alone. Yay! You're supposed to be part of a group. Amen? And it means that when we come together to pray, the power is all the greater. Because we're all bringing our gifts, our background, our testimonies, our prayer stories, all to bear on communion with God and the seeking of His will for us. So what I love about this, let me just give you a quick history of prayer meetings in the book of Acts. And then I'd like to just, is that okay? Can I do a quick flyover? I'm just trying to convince you that prayer meetings are all over the book of Acts, okay? In Acts 1:14, we read, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Acts 1:14. In other words, here's the point I think the Holy Spirit is making. Remember, they were grieving the loss of Jesus. They were greatly discouraged. And how did the Spirit show up and encourage them? It was at a prayer meeting. So when you find yourself discouraged, just write down the prayer meeting this week and come. You know, find one. Because the Spirit encourages the church in the prayer meeting. In Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which one of these two you have chosen. It was in a prayer meeting that the church learned how to make the hard decisions. Prayer meetings are where the decisions come in best, where God gives clarity and leading. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. They continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It was in the prayer meeting, in other words, where the church received its deliverance from persecution. And it was in the prayer meeting where the church would get infused with fresh boldness for proclaiming the word. Amen? I mean, look what happens if we skip the prayer meeting. We're going to miss out on all the fun, of all the momentum of what the Spirit's doing. In Acts 6:4, the elders, you know, when they had the trouble with and needed deacons to help serve the widows, they said, we will devote ourselves to prayer first and the ministry of the word. Elder prayer meetings are critical. Amen? Listen, thank God you got pastors and elders who pray. Not a lot of churches do. It's easy to get overwhelmed as a pastor. I know, you just get so much coming at you. It's easy to get way behind in your prayer time. So thank God you've got these men. But listen, you need to show up. Don't just sit back and enjoy the ride on the elder prayer meetings. You got to show up for the prayer meetings when they call them. In Acts 9:11, and the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." Active prayer time was how the connection was made. I could go into Cornelius in Acts 10. Acts 13, then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. So who called Saul and Barnabas and said, for the work of mission? Who said, set them apart for me for the work to which I have called them? It was not the church at Antioch, which is what you'll be tempted to put on the test. Okay? It was the Spirit. And when did he do it? It was when the church was fasting and praying. Amen? It was at a prayer meeting where they learned, okay, this is what God has for us in terms of our mission penetration. And then Acts 20:36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. Do you remember when Paul was in Miletus and he sent for elders in Ephesus to come? And he basically said, I've got to go back. I've got to go home, and surely affliction, imprisonment, and maybe even death await me. Do you remember the Ephesian elders started weeping? They said, Paul, we can't lose you, buddy. You can't move away from the church. We need you. You're our guy. You know? And he said, no, I have to go. And guess how they dealt with that shocking news? They had a prayer meeting. You're going to see, I think throughout the scripture as you go, that where the power is, it comes in the prayer meeting. You know, I'm so glad Pastor Jack just had a prayer meeting. Because historically, the prayer meeting always warmed up and prepared for the preaching and the teaching. Amen? Otherwise, we just get up and preach and teach, and it just kind of falls flat. You know. But what the Spirit does in the prayer meeting is he makes us alive. He quickens us. He fills us fresh and new. He moves through us, and it helps us listen to the Word. So where all this goes, and I share this with excitement, is that I'd like to share with you quickly about the story in Acts chapter 12. You remember this because it's one of the many case studies of prayer stories that we've been talking about. And I think we'll just start over here in, if I could. Let's see. Peter has been imprisoned by Herod. Let's start in 12:6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Okay, everybody, let me just tell you. Let me just cut to the chase. There are four squads of four guards. There are 16 guards charged with keeping Peter incarcerated. Okay, 16 full-time employees, all right? And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. Okay, so you get this? Okay, so an angel has just awakened Peter. And Peter's not sure he knows what he's saying. He may still be a little bit on the asleep side, right? Okay, can you identify with that? But thought he was seeing a vision. And when they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Now when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Now, remember, Herod has put James to death, and it turned out to be very politically popular. And so Peter knows he's next. okay? I mean, politicians are politicians, you know? And so this is probably, for all intents and purposes, while he's awaiting trial, it could be the last good night on the earth for Peter. And here he finds himself out in the street having been rescued from Herod. Now, when Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So what was the church doing? It was having a prayer meeting. And, and when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now the news story that was on CNN that night, or the next morning, or Fox, or, I mean, you pick your CBS, you pick, was this, that there was some kind of a jailbreak. End of story. That Peter is missing. Okay? But what you don't realize, unless you're a believer, and you believe the Word of God, and you love the Word of God, and especially if you have experience at showing up for prayer meetings, there's always a story behind the story. There's always a prayer story behind the movements of God in the major news stories. And the journalists don't think to tell you that. Like, for example, how many of you recognize the name of Darren Harrison? That name ring a bell? Probably don't remember his name, do you? How many of you caught the story on Wednesday of last week that a passenger took over a distressed airplane when the pilot went incoherent? And with absolutely no flight training at all, somehow got it out of a dive at over 300 knots, somehow pulled it out of a dive, and recovered the airplane, somehow found out how to call air traffic control. And all the while there was a guy in the very back of the plane screaming bloody murder. And he was screaming, "Mayday, Mayday," like I could help. You know, and maybe I would do that if I was in a plane, you know, at over 300 miles an hour headed straight for the earth. Okay, just going down. That guy, Darren is his name, with no flight training whatsoever, somehow landed that airplane safely. Now, do you know him? Okay. Did you know Darren's in one of our Praying Life cohorts? Isn't that a hoot? Yeah, a friend of mine, Tim Strawbridge, started a cohort in a construction company in Lakeland, Florida at lunchtime, and they're about midway through the 10-week cohort, so they've already been through helplessness is the key to good prayer. And so what... So he calls on the phone, "Timo, I know what you mean." And then he says, "Timo, let me tell you, I wish you could have heard me pray when that thing touched down on the runway. Oh, the prayer just flowed." And this is just a good old raw construction worker who just wants to learn how to do all of life through prayer. Isn't that a hoot? Now, you didn't get that on Fox or MSNBC. But there's a prayer story behind the story. And I share that to encourage you. Oh, here's one more. How many of you remember the name of John Muhammad? And his 17-year-old, I think it was his son, Lee Boyd Malvo. Do those names ring a bell? I'm going back only 20 years. They were the snipers in the Washington, D.C. area, if you recall. And, you know, this wasn't long after 9/11, about a year after 9/11, and people were being shot at and several were killed just by a sniper, and people standing at gas stations filling their car or walking into Walmart. It was very, very terrifying. And those of you who are alive then with memories of 9/11 still fresh, you were very disturbed by this. I was. I thought about it constantly and also prayed for the apprehension of whoever was committing this evil. So, by the way, thank you, Pastor Jack, for praying against the evil. Oh, I love that. Just a few minutes ago. But what you didn't know, probably, or perhaps you do remember, there was a trucker who spotted these guys in a Maryland rest stop, a rest area. But you want to know the story behind that? It's a prayer story. I know this because once I heard of how the guy was apprehended, I started doing research. I said, I wonder if there's a prayer story behind this. And there sure is. And here's the way the story goes. There's a group of truckers that frequent that north-south highway on the East Coast. And they're Christians, and to avoid the temptations at truck stops, you know, truck stops can be places where there's lots of drugs and prostitution. There's all kinds of temptations. They meet in rest areas, and they fellowship and encourage each other as they rest. There were some 50 truckers that committed together that they were going to pray for the apprehension of these snipers. Now, here's what's fun. At the Central Church of the Nazarene, a particular man by the name of Ron Lantz, L-A-N-T-Z, would go to the prayer meetings, but he couldn't this particular week because he was called to run a load on a Wednesday night. So he was called in to work a shift he normally doesn't work. You following me? But his church was praying, actively praying. And he pulled off at a rest area in Maryland. And just to get a little bit of rest and to take a breath, he turned on radio, you know, truckers radio. I don't listen myself, but I hear. And the host said, be on the lookout for a light blue Chevy Caprice, license number, et cetera, et cetera. And sure as the world, there Mr. Lance looks up and he goes, I have eyes on it. And so what does he do? He calls authorities. He's very calm. He calls authorities and he says, I've got your car. I'm at this particular rest area. And they said, okay, we're coming as fast as we can. Whatever you do, don't move. Don't leave. He said, don't worry. I'll stay right here. I'll keep my eyes on it. He then radioed another guy, another trucker, another actively praying trucker, you know, one of our guys. And that guy moved his truck to block the exit. And Mr. Lance moved his truck to block the entrance. And so there was no way in and there was no way out. God used two actively praying truckers supported by 48 other actively praying truckers rooted in the foundation of a Wednesday night prayer meeting to catch those guys. Amen? You with me? Do you see the power and the privilege that the Spirit is granting us? And yet, what's the temptation? Isn't the temptation to simply not pray? To not go to prayer meeting? It is for me. And I run a ministry on it. But if you'll get up and go anyway, you might just be surprised at how God Almighty, sovereign as He is, loves to use the prayers of His people. I don't know why He takes such great delight in us getting together and pray and praying for His glory and confessing things and asking for help specifically. I just know that He does. It's full of the Scripture. It's not just Acts 12. So this week, when you are really tempted to be discouraged, you know what I'm talking about? Okay? You watch the news or you read a little bit and you go, oh my gosh, the whole world has gone crazy. I don't think anybody has common sense even. You're right? Let me encourage you to find somebody to pray with. You can get groups online. You can come to the prayer meeting that the elders call. But begin to pray, because the one you pray to rules the universe. Do not be intimidated by evil, ladies and gentlemen. Pray against it. Stand in the power, the unity that God has given us in His church. And I think what's going to happen is, like Peter, we're going to be surprised. Even in the midst of these great prayer stories, we're going to be surprised. So I share this with you today. Because the way I've had to apply this in my own life is, I just want you to know, I started getting really depressed. It just seemed like the whole world had gone mad. And it just seemed like people were leaving the faith. And, I mean, just the life was going out of the church. I was growing discouraged, okay? And I got invited to join a prayer group late on Wednesday nights online called the Issachar Group. Those who just knew what they would do. I'm going to close with this, okay? And let me tell you, every Wednesday night, we get together online and we pray. What I love about it is it's half the people that come are lawyers. Yay! You know? And so they have this critical thinking, and they help me pray through active court cases, political races, things that are in Congress and committee. These are really sharp people, and I just love being around them, because us ministry guys aren't all that critical in our thinking. But you get a group of lawyers on the screen, they're going to drive you to some pretty good clarity. I love it. It's fun. And even though I'm dog tired when I go into that meeting, I mean, I just want to go to bed at 8 o'clock. I'll just be honest with you. That's my bedtime. When you get in your mid-60s, you know. But I just go anyway, and I always come away with hope and with anticipation that God is going to do something. Remember George Whitefield? Probably one of the greatest communicators of Scripture. He just had such passion about Him, such heart. And as I was researching for some writing on this, I found that Whitefield would go to these prayer meetings before the Great Awakening, and the prayer meetings would sometimes go 3 hours. They just lost track of time. Isn't that amazing? You just lose track of time, and it's been 2 to 3 hours. And what's interesting about what he said in his journal is, when we left, I didn't walk away going, oh, what a wonderful teacher John Wesley is. Or what a wonderful group of guys we have. He said, whenever we left those prayer meetings, we always left with this: wow, I wonder what God's going to do. And it's in the prayer meeting where we get that sense of anticipation and that watching and that waiting. Amen? Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this great privilege. Oh, Father, thank You for the direct access we have with You. Thank You for how Romans 6 explains it's the result of our justification. Thank You for for Revelation 4 and 5, how it's rooted in the Lamb who was slain and the all-efficacious death of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank You that You use prayer meetings, the gathering of Your church, in these amazing and surprising ways so we get to be part of it. Oh, Father, thank You. And now, Lord, would You bring, would You just help us to pray And would you help us to pray together? In Jesus' name, amen.